Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller and the world's most famous groupie. Yes, yes. Pamela DeBar is with us, and she has a podcast called Miss Pamela's Pajama Party, which is fantastic. She's going to be doing some live, secrets, some talk, it's just going to be some fun stuff. And she's with us here in the National Defense. Pamela, how you doing?
I'm fine. I'm good. I'm here in L.A. It's raining. I love it. It's a rare occurrence.
Yeah, all over the world right now, you can't predict the weather, but you have had some kind of a life. I mean, you know, you've been mentioned with Mick Jagger, Jimmy Page, Jim Morrison, Graham Parsons. I mean, Jim Morrison, it's going back.
They're going way back. Yeah, I'm a septuagenarian, so it's really funny when people try to give me grief about my past, you know? I lived during a time when almost anything went. I mean, it was a magical, revolutionary renaissance in music, in spirituality, sensuality. I mean, everything, there were love-ins. I mean, people, you could walk up and down the strip and run into all the rock stars you wanted to. It was an open time, open-hearted time that will never come again. So, I knew it while I was living it. Even though I was young, I kept my diaries, and they're all chock-a-block full of all this incredible stuff and these amazing people I spent time with. So these shows I'm doing, you know, I'm reading from my diaries, I'm reading from my books, I'm showing photos, playing snippets of music that kept me going and got me where I wanted to be. And I was in an all-girl band, the GTOs, with Frank Zappa was our producer and our mentor. So I was right in the thick of it. And people are interested in that because it's mythology now. And there are not many of us left to talk about it.
Well, and you know, Pamela, people give you grief. Those same people wish they were you. They wish they had been back in that time.
That's true.
Yeah, we're talking to Pamela DeBar.
That's exactly true.
Yeah, and I don't know,
Pamela. That's right.
When I was doing a morning show, a daily morning show on the radio, I interviewed somebody. I don't think it was you. I think it was a groupie named Melissa, who had also written a book. And she, it could have been you, but whoever it was told me at the time that Huey Lewis is the biggest and Peter Frampton is the smallest.
That was Sweet Connie.
Sweet Connie, that's right.
Yeah.
That's
she has a chapter in my fourth book, Let's Spend the Night Together, and in the documentary I did. So, yes, Sweet Connie, that was her. See, I don't divulge stuff like that. Connie was very open about that stuff. She was very open about size. I never get into that.
Well,
but yes, she's the one who said that.
I had that clip for years, and I would play that from time to time where she said, Huey Lewis is the biggest, Peter Frampton.
You can't do that to poor Peter Frampton.
Well, let me tell you what happened. So I played it one day, and he was going to be playing at a casino where I was working, and he heard that, and he was not happy. He was not, he wasn't mad at Connie. He was mad at me. And so, but we've since made up.
That's a mean thing to say about a man, as I'm sure you know.
Oh my gosh! I mean, to proclaim it about a man, yeah, absolutely. tell me about your time with Jim Morrison. That's fascinating.
Well, it was very early on. He lived next door to a friend of mine in Laurel Canyon, right behind the Canyon store. And I heard the Doors music being played. And I went, who has a pre-released record by the Doors? I mean, it hadn't come out yet. This is when I was 17 and just starting to hang out on the strip in Hollywood. I was a big Doors fan. They were a local band. I'd seen them play a few times, and it was incredible. No one was doing what he was doing, what they were doing. There was no sound like that ever before. That's why this time frame people are fascinated with. But I got real stoned and just went down and peeked in the window to see who had that album, and it was Jim himself.
Oh wow!
Jim Morrison was playing his own record, and all he had on was his black leather pants, and I was just beside myself. I was so high that I walked in there and did a back bend for him because I had just learned how to do that. And he went, get it on. That's what he always said to people, get it on. And then right at that moment, his girlfriend, Pam Corson, walked in and told me, get the F out of my house.
Yeah.
So he followed me, though. He followed me up the stairs back to my friend's house. And we, you know, we rolled around and made out for a while. He was really a one-woman man, but once in a while they would fight, and I could hang out with him a little bit. But I never did the deed with him because I was young. You know, I was he, and in those days there was no pressure for that.
Yeah,
that changed. You know, but in the '60s there was. You know, he said, "Oh, okay. You know, let's make out." You know, and that was fun.
Did you...
he read me his poetry. He carried me. He carried poetry books around and would read to me out of them, and that was really amazing.
Did anybody ever write a song about you? Anybody write a song?
Yeah, there have been a few. Robert Plant told me going to California was about me and a couple other L.A. girls. They loved L.A. These bands would, like, come to Los Angeles, especially Zeppelin, come to Los Angeles and base themselves there, fly out to the other shows, come back to Los Angeles. And their wives never knew. Their wives did not like them being in Los Angeles.
Right, right. Well, you know, we were talking to Pamela DeBar here in the National Defense, the world's most famous groupie, and you got you talk about this tour where you read from your diary. You're going to be at the world famous Whiskey A Go Go on March 17th. That's going to be an event.
It is an event. I did one on my birthday last September, and it sold out, and people just loved it, and, you know, it was almost unexpected, the response I got. It was so great. And I'm now doing it again. And I'm reading a few different passages, but I read out of the books, tell the stories, show photos, play snippets of songs of people that I went out with or inspired me. I start with Elvis, of course.
Oh, wow.
You know,
wow.
Elvis nut as a child. Yeah, I was an Elvis nut as a little girl. And then Dion.
Oh, wow.
Dion and the Belmonts. He was my next, you know. I joined his fan club at 13, you know. So I was always a music nut. So, and then the Beatles, of course, wow. I finally met all four Beatles, which was wonderful, very briefly.
Did you ever have anybody that you turned down that just wanted to go?
Oh, sure, a lot of people. I was very finicky. I was very picky about who I was with. And I never had one-night stands or any of that. I wanted relationships, and I was in that world. So I, you know, I wound up with these men, and, you know, as boyfriends.
Well, and you were in that that magical Laurel Canyon situation.
Yes,
I mean, that's
exactly.
Just that is so you know, Linda Ronstadt and Jackson Browne and all these people. You know, the Eagles coming up. That had to be a magical time.
Well, I spent a lot of time in Laurel Canyon. Frank Zappa lived there, and I was the governess for their baby, Moon. And I also just went, you know, house to house visiting people. The doors were open. The doors were open. And so were the Love's doors at Buffalo Springfield, all the birds, all the birds lived there. Yes, I called it God's Golden Backyard in my first book, I'm with the Band, and
that's
it
so
really
cool.
Was.
Miss Pamela,
no one locked their doors or anything. You know, it was something else. It really was.
Miss Pamela's Pajama Party podcast. You got to check that out. Pamela, best of luck with everything, man. Great to talk to you.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.